Hi, I'm Samantha, a past guest on CJAM's HandyLink. You're listening to HandyLink on CJAM 99.1 FM, Windsor, Detroit.
To HandyLink, sponsored by the Italian Canadian Handy Capable Association. I'm your host, Cam Wells. Our first segment today is a post-dated interview, so some of the events referred to may already have passed. For our show, our old friend Nicole Danielle will be giving us an update on her plans for the Special Needs Yoga Program. So tell me a little bit about the plans for this year's yoga program.
Thanks, Cam. The yoga program, which was on hiatus over the summer months, has started up again. So I have been back to the Jackson Park Health Center location. My office there is Suite 115, and on Saturday mornings at 11:15, for the last 2 years, myself and a group of women with Down syndrome have been steadily practicing yoga. I've had pretty much the same faces this whole time, so the women are getting really, really professional at their practice. They're getting to be really, really strong in their poses, and that program has started up again. It's open to new people starting all the time. The way it works is that people can either try it out once, do a one-time walk-in class, or they can buy 6 classes at a time, and they purchase those classes through the Windsor Squash and Fitness Club. So that program has started up again, and the girls are eager to continue on with their practice. And we really welcome other people and caretakers along with people if they want to participate as well. So that has started back up again, and so have the group classes that happen every Thursday morning at Harmony in Action. And there at Harmony, we have a wide range of people with disabilities that include Down syndrome, cerebral palsy, autism, deafness, and we have they're all adults, and we have a really excellent time. We work on tightening limbs that need to get stronger and loosening up limbs that are too tight and need to relax a little bit. Everyone gets my individual guidance, and we have support staff as well. So again, everybody's just very excited to start up again. I'm excited to see that after 3 months, there's a lot of recollection of things that we were doing. It's been, again, 2 years with that group as well. Same faces, often new people starting as well. But it's just great to see, they remember, why we're doing the breathing exercises, how they're helping to open up their sinuses and increase their lung capacity. Why do we do back bends? Why do we do twists? They're really gaining that consciousness of their bodies and of how the yoga works, how it's going to help them out with calming their mind. A lot of them have stress throughout the day about, possible attacks that might be coming up. A lot of them get spasms, and just worrying about those attacks coming causes them stress. So they're starting to use their yoga breathing and awareness to just calm themselves down, and that's of course also helping those spasms to stay away or to at least slow down and stop quicker than maybe they had in the past. So those are some of the benefits we're seeing. And again, I'm just excited to see that after 3 months away, everybody's excited to get back into it. And beyond that, I have just been basically spending my last few weeks since I've been back here in Windsor establishing my schedule. I have more and more day times available to build more and more classes. And that's where we're at right now, is just setting up new times for different groups, different ages. And so I really, really encourage anyone who's listening and they've got some questions for me about, you know, perhaps their child or their brother or sister or whatever, if they might be interested and if they want to ask me some questions. I have a new phone number, Cam, so if I can just share that with you. It's 519-981-7337. And, of course, they can go to my website, which is www.cocoyoga.ca, and just contact me and ask me anything at all that they might be curious about. I'd love to talk with people. I'd love to hear people's availability for when classes throughout the week do work for them. I'd love people who have clients with disabilities to contact me. It would be a wonderful thing for, you know, a little outing to spend an hour, go do some yoga. The caregiver gets a great experience. The student gets a great experience. It's a great thing to do. So I'm just really open to hearing from people, hearing when they would like to have a class, when they're available, and start building those class times both in my suite at the Jackson Park Health Center as well as out and about in the community. I'm kind of just at that point to start really filling up my schedule now that I'm back from my vacation. So I would love that.
So in your time working with individuals with disabilities in yoga, what have you learned about how to best support them?
Well, I guess throughout my years of teaching yoga, whether it's in these modified classes or not, I really have spent a lot of time just watching individuals and giving them that individual attention, even in a group class. The support staff being present with me, for example, at Harmony in Action, or in the classes on Saturday mornings with the women with Down syndrome, if someone is with them, participating along, but also possibly just, you know, stopping their own practice from time to time and really being with that client, I'm loving that that awareness that there's someone else that can maybe help them continue on when I'm not there. You know, have encouraged them to go to their yoga breathing again if those worries or spasms are coming up. So for sure, I'm enthusiastic about people supporting these individuals. I believe that the belief of their family and their support workers, if the family and support workers believe that yoga can be helpful and they can encourage that, we're finding that really helps the individual along, having that, you know, that backup, that support network. So that's for sure one thing that, you know, throughout my teaching, one-on-one individual support and the added support for those people with disabilities beyond me, back at home, back at Harmony. I know they're continuing on, you know, with, you know, just encouraging those things. I've for sure grown to really appreciate the support of the staff that's there. That's 100% coming to my mind in terms of the question you just asked. yeah, I really think that that would be a great thing, just to really enforce, you know, the support of the family, encouraging them to do that practice, really seeing the results of it, and encouraging them to do, you know, practice of their breathing and basic, you know, core exercises when I'm not with them, just to help them out with their day-to-day life, being able to manage stairs better, being able to deal with, you know, life better, just having, you know, your mom or your caregiver, just, you know, reminding them, okay, let's go to that yoga breathing. So I'm just really thankful for those parents who do get so involved, and those caregivers that are there with me at Harmony. They're a big part of it.
I'd like to thank you for taking the time out to do this, but if you can stay on the line for a sec, that'd be great.
Sure.
It's a program like Nicole's that really says to the disabled community, I want you to be at your best. I recognize you have strengths and talents all your own, and I want you to be able to have the methods to relieve pain, to show your strengths on a day-to-day basis. Learning these techniques, learning these postures, can be, in some cases, a source of pain relief for the very first time in a person's life. If they've gotten used to living something like that, suddenly there's an option that's simple and effective, something that can be done on a day-to-day basis that can change all that. Who wouldn't jump at the chance? It's just an amazing thing. HandyLink will be right back after these commercial messages, so stay tuned.
Ontario Students Against Impaired Driving is an anti-impaired driving initiative that strives to promote smart, healthy choices through education and public awareness to prevent tragedies caused by impaired and distracted driving. OSAID is about teens helping teens to consider safe alternatives and new perspectives to the perceived norms about alcohol, illicit drugs, and dangerous driving. For more information or to join the team, visit www.osaid.org.
Welcome back to HandyLink, sponsored by the Italian-Canadian Handy Capable Association. I'm your host, Cam Wells. Earlier in our show, we heard from Nicole Daigneault, who gave us an update on her disabilities yoga program. In this segment of our show, we'll hear from Linda Jaeger, president of the Coalition for Disabled Musicians. So tell me a little bit about the Coalition for Disabled Musicians.
Well, the Coalition for Disabled Musicians was founded in 1986. It was started by a drummer who also worked on a tugboat, and he sustained a serious injury one day while working on the tugboat, and he was no longer able to work, and he was having difficulty playing drums. And he just thought one day there might be other musicians somewhere with limitations, either from pain or from some sort of disability, where it might stop them from doing what they wanted to do musically, and maybe together we could figure out ways that we could perform or record our music, and it actually took off rather quickly locally, and then it started to spread nationally and internationally.
So, what types of disabilities do you commonly see within the coalition?
We've seen a wide variety of disabilities over the years, anything from MS to muscular dystrophy to blindness, a variety of orthopedic problems, cerebral palsy, a variety of, I hate to say the word birth defects, but that's the word that was used back in the 80s. So it was people who had, maybe their limbs didn't grow properly, prenatally, And I mean, we saw a huge variety of disabilities, and everybody was interested in, you know, performing their music.
So, can you tell me a little about the instruments? What sorts of modifications might be used?
One of the first modifications that was actually made was a bass stand. Our bass player had difficulty holding the bass because he had a form of muscular dystrophy, and the bass is a very heavy instrument. So we designed, actually our founder designed the bass stand, which is very similar to the guitar stands you'll see now in music stores. He was able to stand in front of the bass and play the guitar without having to actually hold the instrument, which, like I said, was very heavy. Our drummer also designed his own drum stool, which had extra padding, extra cushioning. Drummers tend to bounce a lot as they play, and he had a spinal cord injury, and so the extra cushioning made it easier for him to play for a limited amount of time, but it still made him more comfortable. He also designed a practice pad that he could really use from any position. He could sit in a recliner chair and make himself more comfortable, and he'd still be able to practice the different drum techniques that drummers use.
So, in your time with the Coalition, what sorts of challenges have you seen?
I'm sorry, I couldn't hear you.
In your time with the Coalition, what types of challenges have you seen?
What type of challenges have I seen? Wow. Well, a lot of it is accessibility. A lot of shows that we were invited to perform at were on showmobiles, and showmobiles are notoriously inaccessible. They have a set of 6 or 7 stairs to go up, and what we did was we would bring a set of portable ramps, and at the time that we bought them, and I still think they may be the longest set of portable ramps that are available for a private sector, and we would put them up to the showmobile and essentially have 2 or 3 people pushing the wheelchair up the ramp so that it didn't, one, tilt backwards while going up close to a 45-degree angle, I would say, and two, make sure that the ramps didn't slip out from underneath. We've done a few makeshift transfers for wheelchairs where a box was created and put on a forklift, and then the forklift brought the box over to the stage. I happened to be the occupant of that box. That was an interesting ride, but it was also very safe and it was very creative. But a lot of the issues that we face are accessibility to stages, which is getting better, and it's better in the schools where we do a lot of our performances, but everywhere else there are mostly steps to stages.
So, to look at the converse side of things, in your time with the Coalition, what's been the greatest success?
I would say, well, performing for children is just a fantastic feeling for the musicians because they're such a great audience. But I think we're also showing them that people with disabilities have talents and good things to share with the population. You know, we're not just the sad person in the wheelchair or walking with the crutches or with the guide dog or whatever, that, you know, having a disability is not the end of the world, and that you can be a contributing member of society, and they learn a lot. They learn a lot of etiquette. They learn just a lot about them as a person, and I think that helps with the bullying aspect in schools these days, because children always pick on the weaker person, and a person that's disabled is usually seen as the weaker person. So I think seeing us as a rock band really changes the attitude of a child.
So, are there any projects on the horizon for the coalition?
Well, right now, we're actually, one of our members just passed away, sadly. So, in conjunction with some other local bands, we're working on a tribute fundraiser for him. So that's one thing that's coming up in December. And we're constantly just booking schools. That's one of our major projects, is going into the schools and just doing the handicap awareness programs, which is part rock and roll and part question and answer. And I think that's really where we're most successful. And on a daily basis or weekly, we're contacted by musicians from all over the country and sometimes the world, just looking for just information on maybe how to adapt an instrument or how to approach an instrument differently. And everybody is an individual case because everybody's disability is different, their functionality is different, and of course whatever instrument they're playing is usually different. So we have to kind of examine it and look at it from different angles and try to figure out a way to get a person either back playing or to start playing.
I'd like to thank you for taking the time out to do this, but if you can stay on the line for a sec, that'd be great.
Okay.
Well, folks, for more information about the Coalition and its work, visit www.disabled-musicians.org. You know, folks, it occurs to me that in many ways, it's through the music scene that artists with disabilities have the best opportunities to express themselves. If you think about it, some of the greatest bands ever have had disabilities in their membership. Look at Def Leppard, one-handed drummer, and nobody ever questions his talent. Reason being, they don't think of his disability as the primary factor in his work. They think, wow, this is a really great musician who just happens to have a disability. When somebody excels to that point, to that level in their work, the disability seems less and less pronounced. Fact is, it is a matter just using one's strengths, one's skills. And music, it's a great outlet for that. But so too would be writing, poetry, any of the great arts. For a person with a disability, to say to the world, this is who I am and this is what I can do, sends a very clear message. They do indeed have strengths, talents. If you're someone with a story of disability life, write HandyLink 4, HandyLink, the numeral 4, gmail.com. Always love to hear from you folks at home. My thinking is, a person with a disability who does express themselves through their art has to first come to a place where they can say to themselves, this is what I want to do. This is what I believe I can do. You're always going to have skeptics, people who say you'll never achieve. Whether you have a disability or not, everybody has heard that at one time or another. Fact is, it's an opinion. It's not a fact. If you tell somebody with a disability they can't achieve, it's just from your perspective, you don't think they'll be able to do this. But why do we as a society go there so often? Why do we presume just because somebody has a physical difference or a learning difference, they're not going to be able to achieve or to do great things? My thinking is, should all wait and see what can be accomplished. And if there's anything we can do along the journey of an artist to support them, it's what we should do, folks. It's giving an opportunity for someone to achieve great things, and moreover, to express what's really in their heart. If you look at any celebrity, any success in this world, whether they have a disability or not, they never, ever get there without support, without encouragement, and without seeing for themselves what they can achieve. It's never a matter of somebody simply is great. We as a society build them up. We as a society look at this person's abilities and say they are somebody worth noting. And for those with disabilities in our community, it's no different. We're going to build up somebody based on a talent. Let's build up somebody based on their talent. Whether they have a disability or not, recognizing their abilities, what they can contribute to popular culture or just culture in general, it's just an amazing thing. And it's something we all should just take the time to ask ourselves. What can this person do? How can we adapt it to give a fair chance, to give the right outlet for a person to express themselves? That's the thing. When it comes to things such as mood disorders, depression, all those sorts of things, I think a lot of cases wouldn't necessarily be cured, but I would think that having an outlet, a means of expression, something that a person is good at, can at least reduce this effect. If a person believes that they have the potential, the capability, and yes, even the right to succeed, odds are they'll be far more motivated to find that way, to find what it is they can do. And I've seen some amazing examples of this. Both guests today, the Coalition and Nicole in her yoga program, each are standing by individuals with disabilities and actually showing that they believe in these people. Not believe in them because they need extra belief in them, but believing in them because they recognize these are potential strong human beings, just as anyone else in society. Fact is, folks, life is all about evolution, about pushing forward, about saying, this is good enough for today, but what's good enough for tomorrow? How can we improve on this? And disability life is the perfect reflection of that, I think. Because things we used to deem as entirely impossible, today we're finding ways to do them. Having the possibility for someone with a muscle issue to play a large instrument, have a chance to do this, it's a sign of our progress as a society. It's a sign that we are taking into consideration the possibility of adaptation and of moving forward, creating opportunities which in turn can benefit the able-bodied population. Something is made more efficient as part of a modification for someone with a disability. Why shouldn't our able-bodied counterparts look at that and say, gee, this really works. Maybe there's a way I can use it too. This has been HandyLink. I'm your host, Cam Wells, reminding you we're all equal. So get on out there and have yourselves a good one. You've earned it, folks. We'll see you next week.